Coffee Mess. Celebrate your magic in the middle of life's messes. Hot, happy
mess.
I'm Zuri Hall, and this is Hot, happy mess.
Oh, shoot.
What is up? How are you feeling? It's another Hot Happy Mess Monday, if you're listening to this on the day that it premiered, but if not, that's okay. Stay a while. We are back with another episode of Hot Happy Mess. I am your host, Zuri Hall, and today's episode is an Alpha Babe spotlight with one of the funniest women in Hollywood. I absolutely adore her, Yvonne Orji. Now, you may know her as Molly from Insecure, but Yvonne is so much more than that, and we love her on Insecure. Don't get it twisted now, but she has so much going on. Not only is she funny, she's a writer, she is an executive producer, she's got some really dope projects in the pipeline, and we had the most hilarious and inspiring conversation. Y'all, we even have a mini karaoke moment, okay? I'm never gonna pass on an opportunity to hop on a mic and act a hot mess and be judged by my peers. So that happens. We also chat about her new book that you absolutely must read, Bamboozled by Jesus, How God Tricked Me Into the Life of My Dreams. It's dropping May 25th. And we talk about her amazing pivot. She's had some really wild career pivots, from getting 2 degrees and chasing her dream of becoming a comedian, to sharing her thoughts on self-care, mental health, ambition, why the wait is sexy. And yes, we are talking about waiting until marriage to have sex, which is something that she's been open and very vocal about before. So she's sharing a little insight into that decision and why she won't compromise on her faith. This is a part of our Alpha Babe Spotlight series. And if you know me at all, then you know when I say Alpha Babe, I mean someone who is unapologetically ambitious and mindful. She's a woman who is designing a life that she loves and she leads. She doesn't just know what she wants. She ain't afraid to work for it, okay? Alpha and Babe, it's all about embracing our duality as women. We can be both. Both can be anything. Smart and sexy, strong and soft, hardworking badass, and self-care connoisseur. All of the things, okay? And I want to remind you really quickly before we jump into today's spotlight on Yvonne, share your stories. I want to hear your story. I want to hear the story of the woman who inspires you most, the woman who makes you laugh the most or cry happy tears. We can cry sad tears together, but submit your real woman, real story, or nominate someone, or share an Alpha Babe spotlight that you think I should cover, or get some generally okay advice from me, yours truly, by sending your submissions to hello@hothappymess.com. All right, y'all, it is time to dive into this week's Alpha Babe Spotlight with Yvonne. Yvonne Orji is a Nigerian-American Emmy-nominated actress, comedian, and writer who continues to display her versatility and passion with each project she takes on. On TV, she stars in HBO's critically acclaimed comedy series, Insecure. She's a stand-up comedian who debuted her first one-hour HBO stand-up special, Mama, I Made It, back in 2020. And she has her faith-based advice book, Bamboozled by Jesus, How God Tricked Me Into the Life of My Dreams, dropping May 25th. So go get that. Here's Yvonne. I'm just so excited that you are here in this little hot, happy mess bubble of ours. It's been, what, like a year since I talked to you, I think.
It has been a year, but I've been, girl, I know about the anniversary. I'm just like, look at her being so happy. I'm following just like, oh, look at love just budding on the interwebs. I'm just, yes.
You know what? Love is budding on the interwebs. I have not forgotten that we are manifesting your boo. The thing is, the way 2020 was set up, it was tricky.
It's okay. It's all right because it was all a set up to a come up. You know what I'm saying?
Like, listen,
he needed to have a divine timeout, whoever he is. He needed to just sat down for a little bit and be like, you know what? I really do need a girl, you know? And I'm trying to figure out the kind of girl. Like, he needed to get very specific about the kind of girl he wanted.
Yes.
So that when he meets me, he'd be like, ah, that's her. My bad.
Got
out
it.
Here
Got it.
In these
got
streets,
it.
Not knowing what I wanted. So I'm not mad at how 2020 right. worked because I got my life together. So he's getting his life and his money together, like all of it.
Right. You said his life and his money?
Yes. Because we not going back to the wilderness. Okay, Zuri.
What we not doing?
Mama needs a new house. Okay, because I got this one by myself. Like, we need a new house.
We love to see it. You know, I'm going to ask you about it. I just closed on my home. I could have used Bamboozled by Jesus because I know you touch on the homeownership process in the book.
Chapter 20.
And I wasn't ready. It's so disrespectful, this housing market.
Ninjas in Paris.
Girl, I have never felt more broke than when I had saved all my coins ever to buy a house in L.A.
And no, not just when you save all your coins, but when you have coins that can afford a house in L.A. and L.A. says, nah, we good. And you're like, no, you
don't want this back.
Run that back by me. I'm giving you 20% of how much? And you basically are like, nah, keep that. That's cute. It's good.
Be blessed.
And then people come in with all cash offers like, yo, I don't need a loan.
Right. Like, I am so glad that you brought that up because that was my number one great moment when I talked about it on the podcast. I got beat out by an all cash offer, and that was my just slap in the face. I didn't realize it was going down like that in Los Angeles. Yeah. They told me what I had to compete with to get the first spot. I was like, cool. So I'll just.
When I tell you, I couldn't even be mad at it because I was like, one day I'm going to be that person. Right now, I don't like it because I'm not that person. But also, thank you for introducing me to a new way of life where you're like, I don't want a bill. Here's $4 million. And you're just like, what the heck? What are we doing? But at the same time, you read in the book how somebody came with an all-cash offer, but they still chose me in my loan.
Hey, look at God. Look at God. You know what? If that's not a segue, I don't know what is. Congratulations. You have the new book coming out. Finally, we've been waiting for it. We're excited. Bamboozled by Jesus. Before we get into it, because I want to talk about all the nitty-gritty, all of the amazing insight you're giving, we open up with these like rapid fire sort of Cosmo-style quizzes, right? So just whatever comes to mind, okay? You ready?
Okay.
All right. The song that sums up my week is...
I'm just tired. My week last week was, we had 6 days of filming. So I was like, what is the song that says, I need a nap? I need a nap. I need a nap.
If that's the song,
go to sleep.
I mean, are you going to write it? Are we adding songwriter to the credits, to the EP of it all?
Listen, if DJ Khaled can produce it, I need a nap might be number one Billboard hit. Go take a snap. I need a nap. Go to bed. I need a nap.
I'm not mad at it. Okay, what superpower would you like to possess?
Ooh, reading people's minds.
Ooh, why? Just makes it easier.
Yeah, because you can just know what they're, like you can just cut the clutter and get to the real. Just to just be like, oh, you're really nervous right now. This is why you're acting a fool. Okay, got it. Or like, we're just really only going to be friends. So why are you wasting my time? You know, like just.
Right. Efficiency's sake. Okay, I feel you.
Efficiency.
Okay, let me give you one more. What is your love language?
Oh, acts of service.
Acts of service number one. Do you have a close ranking too? Mine is acts of service.
I know all mine rank. So acts of service, acts of service, physical touch, which some people are very surprised by, but I'm like, get close. Acts of service, physical touch, words of affirmation. Quality time and gift giving are kind of like all in there. But as I get older and I like more expensive gifts, I'm just like, yeah, I should probably bump up gift giving because like...
Oh, girl, it's a close number two. And depending on the day, it's number one. So yeah. I've had to go with... A lot of therapy got me to a point where I could proclaim that love language without shame. I feel like the giving and receiving gifters get a bad rap.
Yeah, like I give gifts. Like I'm like, you can be the person, Zuri, that you're like, you know what I really love... are, you know, pick a thing. You know, like, I just love whatever. And it'll just be in the back of my mind. Wonderful. I'll give you Elizabeth Taylor diamonds from Macy's.
Great. I'll take it, girl. It's the thought that counts.
But if you're like, I love Adidas tracksuits, right? If you're just like, oh, my God, I love Adidas tracksuits. They're so comfortable for me to whatever. And I'm like, cool. If I go shopping and I see... Adidas tracksuits that like I haven't seen before, like in a really dope color. I'm like, oh, I'm gonna buy one for Zuri. You know, just really? Because I'm just like, yeah, I'm literally, but that's also the acts of service in me because it doesn't take you to tell me I want a jumpsuit. It's inferred in like, oh, you know what brings me joy is these things. And I'm like, noted. It brings her joy.
Yeah. Say less.
And I'll make a note to get it for you.
That I love. You are the friend that everyone needs in that case. Because I be dropping hints. I be writing lists. I be leaving post-it notes all around the house. And then I still end up at Macy's by my damn self trying to get the tracksuit. So.
See, now, when I have a significant other, I'm going to make it plain. The Bible said, write the vision and make it very plain. What I want are Chanel bags.
Okay? Listen, the boy bags.
Yes.
These price tags, though, I'm still trying to get Sean to wrap his mind around why a boy bag costs what it costs. We'll work on them. We'll work on them.
We'll work. You know what, God
But in the meantime, you know, we touched on the book a little bit. Obviously, Bamboozled by Jesus coming out now. Why was now the right time to release? Because you've been working on this for a while, right?
2 years. So, you know, I know. Because I also wanted to write it myself. Like, you know, in the beginning, they're just like, you're going to be busy. We can get a ghostwriter. And I was like, nah, fam. I'm like, I want to say everything I want to say, how I want to say it. And, you know, I just felt like this was too precious. You know, and I listen, after going through the process, I'm like, so what a ghostwriter looking like for the next one? You know what I'm saying? Sometimes it's like, you got to prove yourself to yourself. And then afterwards, you're like, right. You know, I don't really have nothing else to prove. Like, it's fine. I did it. I don't have to do that again.
God knows, I know.
Like, how do we make this easier? Yeah, bring in the troops. Okay. But for this first one, I was just like, I just want to see one, if I can do it and if I can do it well. But I also knew that I had something very specific that I wanted to say. And I was just like, I don't know that I want to spend the time to try and get somebody to get my voice and really, and for me, writing it was also rewriting it, you know, cause like after I got it all out, I'm like, this is what I want to say. This is how I want to say it. Or so it came through several different edits, girl, child. Some point I was like, I'm tired of this daggone book, Lord. But I think now was the right time because we all got bamboozled in 2020. We all had plans. Listen. Whether it was Jesus or COVID, somebody bamboozled the heck out of us. And I think the blessing that came from that was the realignment that a lot of people experienced. You know, trying to figure out, okay, well, what do I do when my plans were interrupted? What do I do when my job just left and doesn't exist anymore? And so does that mean I have permission to do something that I've always wanted to do? Does that mean I have permission to actually like live out my dreams that I didn't think I could because I just wanted a good corporate job and, you know, healthcare? And I think that's the transition. The book is really for people who find themselves in a transitionary period of...
Yeah.
Where sometimes the things that they believed for got is really hard to attain, or sometimes they were thrown a curveball and now they're just like, how do I believe or start over into this new thing when I thought this old thing was going to have me ride into the sunset?
Right. Right. I love that you bring that up, that this is for folks in transition, because honestly, I just feel like life is one big transition, right? Not to get all like woo-woo cliche, but it really is just a series of transitions. You stay in a space long enough to realize, yeah, I'm not growing here anymore. I want new challenges. I want to transition or pivot. And 2020 for a lot of us gave us the time and the space to reflect on that. I'm curious to know your pandemic experience. Did you have any epiphanies, any realizations that were burst through that added to the book in a way that you couldn't have had it been published before?
Absolutely. I'll never forget when God sat me down. I do a lot of my thinking in the bathroom. So like in the tub, I'll take like 3-hour baths and just be like, speak to me, Lord. I'll watch.
You got the Jergens on the side, because that's a lot of, you come out looking like a whole raisin, girl.
Listen, I got my Epsom salt in there. I'm just like, you know, nourishing my muscles, making like, I have my candles burning. I have a TV by the tub area too. So I'll watch a whole series as long as the water stays hot.
You just need hot water.
I have a table that's like connected to the tub so I can like do my journal. We have a whole session in there, okay? Whatever I need to do.
I love it.
We can make happen. So in one of the sessions, I was feeling like, God, everything just felt reckless. Things just were feeling like heightened. And I was like, I have no grasp or bearing on things. And loud as day, Holy Spirit say, it's because you haven't been clear with yourself. Mm. And I was like, what? And he was like, clarity was the best gift that he gave me in the pandemic. Clarity about what I wanted and how to ask for what I wanted and not being afraid to ask for what I wanted. Because a lot of times, too, you're just like, you want a thing, but then you're just like, oh, man, I don't want to be judged for the thing that I want. Like you said, like, even yeah. in, like, my love language is gifts. It's the thing that gives you joy. It's the thing. But it's like, yeah. oh, man, does that feel like I'm materialistic? Like, will people like mm-hmm. me? Da-da-da. And it's just like, what it is what it is. It's a love language because right. it clearly millions of other people have the same one. And for some right. people, it's top of the list. And for other people, it's at the bottom. It doesn't make one love language better than the other. It's just what makes you happiest. And so mm-hmm. it's just like giving myself the ability to be okay with what I discovered in my clarity, right? Mm-hmm. It was okay for me to discover, like, you know what? I want what I want when I want it. And I really don't like waiting. And I really right. don't like having to choose. And what's really pissing me off in my career or in whatever is like this feeling like I can't have it all, or I can't yeah. have this, or I have to like walk around on eggshells. So like, please, sir, can I have some more? Like I'm Oliver Twist. And right. I'm just like, nah, no. So here's what I need. You know what I mean? And like yeah. just being yeah. able to be like, yes, some people will label you as whatever they want to label you at once you start being more clear, once you start knowing yourself more. Because the reality is people benefit more from you when you don't know you are you.
Talk about it. Talk about it. Because then they can tell you who to be, right? Whatever it is they need for you to show up as.
Meanwhile, you walking around like Boo Boo the Fool with your head cut off and you're just like trying to be all things to everybody and nothing to yourself. And yeah. I just was like, something is missing. Something is awry. And I realized, like, I was spending so much time, like, people-pleasing. And I talk about it in the book. Like, I wanted people to like me. And I wanted to be likable. And let's all have a fun experience. And in the process of all of that, like, I wasn't being fulfilled. I wasn't getting the thing that I needed. And then when you ask for it, it's a bait and switch. It's like, people are like, well, where did this come from? I'm like, what? Like, I don't understand. Like, I can still be a nice person and, like, demand right. excellence, you know? And it's right. just like, right. but now really their reaction is just, hey, we liked it better when we could take advantage of you. And now mm-hmm. that we can't, this is not going to work for us. And so then they have yeah. to like create chaos. And so you're just like, how did this happen? Why does this? And yeah. God was like, start off being clear from the jump. Whether people right. like you or not, they'll be able to be honest and let you know if they can or cannot.
Yep. And then that goes right back to the whole make it plain, right? Just make it clear and there can be no misunderstanding. Did you realize in those moments as you started to make clear what you wanted, what your intentions were, what you expected from the people around you, that people fell away, that you had to cut off people? What was the ending of that epiphany? Is your circle tighter? Is it like what happened? How'd you change?
Yeah. I recognize two things. So yes, they're the people that really weren't about this life, but were about the life they wanted, they are no longer in my life. You know what I'm saying? Like it doesn't work out.
Yep. Farewell.
And farewell. Goodbye and God bless. Like, we don't have to live. Like, it doesn't have to be rocky. We don't have to have right. chaos. TMZ doesn't have to be called. Just right. go along with your merry way. This is the end of the road, like a Boyz II Men song.
And my then, jam, by the way.
Yes. Forever. And now we go.
No.
To the end.
Just gotta take a deep breath.
Yeah, no. You're right. I thought we get to see forever. I don't know why.
I'm not even gonna try to keep up with you right now.
No. To be my sunshine.
Oh, now my God.
You gotta get that.
After the rain.
It's so hard.
Y'all can't see it, but if I got a whole fedora on, and I swear she just tilted it to the left the shadows.
Because I had to have my Wanye, like, head, no, yes. and no, we know.
Oh, my see. God. Oh
and,
my
like,
God.
The boys got to trail off. It's all bad, but here we are. The other thing I noticed is that when I was clear, it actually shocked me because I would say what I wanted, and then people would be like, okay. And I was like, wait, that's it. Because people are just really waiting for you to be like, is this what you want? Like the right people
right.
are ready, right. are waiting for you to be like, make a choice. We'll make a decision.
Yeah.
If it's wrong, we'll tell you. If it's right, we'll tell you. Yeah. But like, here's what she wants. Let's go down the yellow brick road and figure out if this is a thing that can happen. And if not, we'll report back. Right. And so it's just like, well, that was easy.
And like, well, that was easy. Wasted the last 10 years not doing that.
Not doing that, but like, and not doing it because I thought other people wanted something else from me, or this is how I was supposed to be, or this is what makes me more desirable in, you know, in relationships or in the industry or whatever. And just being like,
yeah,
but why am I not happy? Because everybody else is getting what they want, but I'm the one who's running the ship, but who's at the back of the ship. How'd that work?
Right. Listen, and did you ever realize, like for me, I had that exact same moment, and it's such a thankless job, right? Because you're sitting here, you're biting the bullet, you're gritting your teeth, you're putting the burden on your shoulders, and to a certain extent, maybe you're a little self-congratulatory about it at a certain point, right? Like you're volunteering as the martyr, and you've been conditioned to be the martyr, and yet people are going around minding their business, oh, she is just the sweetest thing, or oh my gosh, she is always there when you need her, and you're making their lives easier, but nothing about their life is internalizing everything it takes for you to show up in the way they need. So you sitting here mad by yourself because you're the only one who's internalizing that resentment. They're just happy that you're a good person, quote unquote.
Because you also haven't asked anything of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you're giving, somebody's always going to be receiving. And if you're never asking to be given to, you're the one that's going to be depleted. I heard Devon say, the person in a relationship that gets their need met is the person who's loudest about their needs.
Mm-hmm.
It's the person who articulates, here's what I need. And then what we have to do, because the work I had to do was allow someone to meet that need the way they know how to meet their need. Because what we want to do is, like, control how the need is met, too. It's like, oh.
Right. Love how we expect love instead of how somebody needs to receive it.
Right. You know, just as like, hey, give them an opportunity to give to you in the way that they know how to. You can edit, but, like, you can't micromanage how you're going to have it given, you know? I mean, it's kind of different in work because, like, this is my empire. So I'm like, actually, I do want to be communicated to best in this way. Right. You know, like you send me an email. God bless it. I don't know if I'm going to answer, but shoot me a text. You know, it's really important to shoot me a text. So it really was a shift that, and even it lent itself into the book because once I got clear about who I was, then I got clear about what I was saying. Like I knew what I wanted to put in the book, but how I wanted it. Like, I went through, like, should I sound like Joel Osteen? Should I sound like Bishop Jakes? You know, like, because, you know, I think that people are going to be fact-checking. Like, am I as, you know, spiritual as these people? I mean, I ain't go to seminary. Right. Okay, but, you know, but I'm a comedian. Can I make it funny? I want to make the book funny. Like, but then the church folk going to be mad because I made Jesus funny? But, like, that's all I know. You know what I mean? So it was, I went through this whole series of, like, who will I alienate most? Before finally being like, hey, I'ma just be me. Cause that's really the easiest thing to duplicate. Cause trying to be several different things, that's not authentically me. And I'm just gonna be a fraud in my own book. This is crazy.
I'm so glad that you said that because my next question was gonna be, what brought the clarity? What did you realize you had to be or how you had to show up? And what did you do? What work did it take to get there? But was it really just deciding one day, I'm just going to do whatever I want, say whatever it is I truly think, write down whatever it is I feel, and let that be enough? Or, you know, like, and I'm talking tangibles, takeaways just for our listeners. Was it meditation? Was it prayer? I know you hopped on that flight, took that trip. You were telling me about the writing session where Lovey just crashed and ate all your food.
Like,
what did you do to get to that part?
Well, I think so it's a couple of things, right? But the root of it was, you'll never know if you are enough until you are you. Mm. Right? So the fear was like, am I enough to push volumes? You know, like, is what I have to say enough to galvanize interest? And, you know, not just people to buy the book, but to, like, read it and enjoy the book. And if I spent so much time trying to be not me, then I won't really know what worked and what didn't work. It's kind of like my process in comedy. I never go on stage and be like, yo, let me try this new joke out on y'all, see how it is. Because then you set the mindset for other people to be like, well, this is a new joke. As opposed to what I do if I'm testing a new joke, I work it in conversation. And I see how different people, it's like, I don't tell anyone it's a joke or like it's a bit that I'm working on. I set it in a conversation and I see like, okay, so that got the same laugh at the same place each time. Okay, cool, cool, cool. So there's something there. And then I build on it and then I test it. So it's like I'm testing it in real time so that by the time I get on stage, I know it'll work. But I don't need to do like a focus group of like, hey guys, this is a new bit. We'll see. Because then like the expectation for how people receive that is different. Now I'm going to say that doesn't work for some comics. It does. But for me, I want to know authentically, like, does this really work or does this work? Because they're like, she's on stage with a mic. You know what I mean? And we're giving her like a pity laugh. Because that's
nothing
that's
worse than a pity laugh.
Nothing.
You feel it. You feel it deep. It's like, oh God. I don't make another joke for like a week. Granted, I'm not a comedian, so hysterical. I probably just stop trying.
But there is something very frightful about being exposed. There's something being revealed, you know, like being raw and naked and just being like, okay, I'm going to try me. I'm going to give me a shot. You know, because even for me, it's like, do people like me or do people like Molly? You know, because Molly's a character that was created. You know, do people like it when I'm just funny or like, are people going to get that like, I'm multifaceted, I love Jesus and DMX. You know what I mean? Or, you know, are people going to understand me? And it's like, there's no way to find out until you be you. But my problem is I had been me for so long that and me wasn't accepted. So when I was bullied as a kid, the me that I knew to be was like told that she was whack. So then I kind of like searched all this time for like, well, what part of me do people like the most? Let me just do that. Let me just do that. Okay. I can never have any flaws because, whew, you know, that's going to end badly. So let me be the best versions of the things. And then it's just like, hey, I know you like me. Can you just tell me what you like about me so I can just make sure I do that? And it sounds crazy.
I feel so seen in this moment. And it is the overachiever, the perfectionist, right? And a lot of ambitious people, which is what works, what serves the bottom line, and do more of that. I'm curious to know, do you know the Enneagrams? I am so obsessed with this thing.
There are a couple of them, like the Builder, the Voyager, the whoever.
No, wait, what? No.
What are you talking about?
Absolutely not.
What are you, the IMDBs? It's like all these letters that go together.
Not. What you're not going to do to the Enneagram is IMDB it.
Are you an RNGFB? I'm like, I don't
know. No. Okay, so I think you're talking about Myers-Briggs, right? The personality test without letters. You got to do it. I'm going to send to you. Just do it. I just got to know.
Wait, so which one? Like, what are these?
The Enneagram... Actually, a lot of like faith-based organizations use it. Like, it's really popular for Christians who want to do personality tests. I have no idea where that overlap comes from or why.
Because they want to know, are you going to be a good fit to work for this church or not?
Probably, honestly,
Because we all love God.
Enneagram.
We all love God. That can't be enough.
No, we got to sort by number. It's divided into essentially like 9 personality types. And there's this grid. So think about it kind of like an astrological sign, except it has nothing to do with your birthday. It is quite literally based on personality based testing. And so I am a type 3, which is the achiever. So we have our good, our bad, and our ugly. And when we're operating at our unhealthiest, we're prone to, you know, overly competitive nature. We're prone to isolating and just tunnel vision and going without spending time with our family and our friends. But at our best, we see the best in our peers and we celebrate and encourage them to chase their biggest dreams, et cetera, whatever, whatever. So you have the giver, you have all these different things, and you're sounding like this is a Zuri diagnosis, and it's not a diagnosis because it's a good thing. You're giving me type 3 energy, which I love to see because
is type three you?
Yes. And look, no one is any better or worse than the other. They're all just different.
Yeah.
And we have our strong points and our weaker points. So the way you were describing that just stood out to me.
Well, send me the link. I'll take the test to see if you pass.
I will.
But I also got like a birth chart reading. Have you ever gotten a birth chart reading?
I did years ago. It's been a while though, and I don't remember much of what she told me.
It's really confirmation on like a lot of different things, but basically because of, I mean, I'm a Sagittarius, but then he was like, your moon is in something, something. It's all written down. I was like, what is the sun?
So you got your, is it the rising sign, your moon sign?
Yeah, all of that. And then like and where then, the world were when you were born and et cetera, right. et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
But you know, a lot of the traits, like they make sense. Cause I'm just like, oh yeah, that makes sense. I can't remember what we were talking about to even get into this, but I was like, where was I going with this?
So I was talking about Enneagrams and you were like, I got my birth chart read. What?
I got my birth chart read. But, you know, my friend Debbie Brown, I told her, I was like, she is amazing.
Oh,
she
I love Debbie.
She works for D-Rock. And I'm just like, I need a whole like separate account for all the stuff that Debbie will tell me to do. She's like, I need you to have a reading with this woman. She goes in your container. I'm like, my container? Like, what, am I shipping something? What is that? But she's like, no. Like, it's just a different thing. So I was like, law, Debbie.
And like, so then what? She in was the FedEx?
Exactly. Okay. Then she, like, recommended a womb healer. I was like, a womb healer? You have to be in my womb. And she's like, but... I was like, okay, I'm going to have to pause on that one. I was like, but then she recommended the birth chart reading. And I was like, I need a whole Debbie Brown Says account because my business manager's like, what is this expense? I'm like, don't worry about that. Don't worry about it.
Right. Wait, so you got the reading. Did you feel like it struck a chord? Like, I feel seen right now? Or were you like,
oh, okay. Oh, well, okay, wait, yes. Because you were, I remembered the question.
A full circle, like, we got there?
Yes, about how, what you did to get back to you and, like, what the journey was.
Yes.
And I was like, yes. I was like, we were talking about something that the people want to hear about. but it was this, how do I say it? Just this notion of, we're going to find out one way or another, right? And I tell this to my girlfriends who are single and who are just like, yeah, I mean, I like him, but like, I feel like if I tell him this or if I do this, then like, you know, he'll leave. I said, well, you'll find out one way or another. Because it's just like, don't you want to know? Like, if that's all it takes for him to leave, then like, yeah, he was never going to stay. You know what I'm saying? Like, so how many pieces of you are you going to compartmentalize to get someone to like you? You know what I mean? Because at some point, the one person for you is going to be like, yeah, your doo-doo stink, your booty hole stink, everything. But here's what I love. You know what I mean? Like,
but here's what I love.
Here's what I know that is true. I will take her booty hole stinks for $500, Alex, and still stay. And it's just like, that's the person that you're just like, yes. I don't know if you watch the show. I'm addicted to this show. It's called Couples Therapy. On Showtime?
No.
Suri?
I don't even think I've heard of it. I've heard of the podcast called Couples Therapy.
If you and Bae don't watch this, I feel like it is therapy for other people's therapy. So, like, basically, she takes real-life couples, and it's reality, but it doesn't feel like a reality. Because I can't really get down with reality shows, because it's like, you don't know. It's not as invasive where, like, the cameras are around, and it's just like, it really is real life couples coming
and
to therapy.
Just like exploiting.
And being honest. It's like, I need help. And then here's what I love about it, because for me, I'm like, it allows me to chart my growth. And it also like allows me to be like, okay. Is there any kind of tendencies in her relationship or in the way she's acting or in the way he's acting that is making you feel away? Because like, are you recognizing yourself in this? And so it's like, it's great because I love when I can be like, okay, so I feel like what's going on here is like, she's not really open. She doesn't know how to be loved. And he is like giving, and she doesn't know how to receive. Three episodes later, literally, that's what she breaks down crying because the therapist is like, I don't understand. He's giving you love. He's giving you things. And she was just like, in a moment of transparency, it's like, well, maybe I don't know how to accept it because I always thought I would be alone. And I was like, ding, 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 ding. It's so real. And then other times you're just like, ooh, I dated that guy. Oh my gosh. Like, what made me stay? Like, you know, like, I'm looking at it now like, girl, sis, blink twice. You need help. Get out fast. You know, so couples therapy on Showtime. Right.
Okay, couples therapy on Showtime. Good to know, good to know. I will check that out. You brought up, you know, ooh, I dated that guy. What was I thinking? And I've certainly had those moments where it's like 2020 hindsight energy, but in the moment, it's like, you just can't. You can't see it. You don't want to see it. But on the outside of it, you realize what you do want. So we're single. Are we mingling? And by we, y'all, I mean Yvonne's single. So just to clarify, this is not a breakup announcement. But what's it looking like now? I mean, your choice, quite frankly, to be celibate, to abstain, was very much a talking point when you were rising to fame as Molly and Insecure, of course. And I loved that perspective. I loved how open and honest you were about why you waited. You touch on that in Bamboozled by Jesus. And why was it important for you to share that part of your journey? And then two, what type of husband are we looking for? Just in case the Hot Happy Mess listeners are trying to help manifest.
Listen, hallelujah, hallelujah. No, I mean, I feel like it wasn't that it was or it wasn't important. I think it was just a part of me. The same way people were like, she Nigerian. It's like, yeah, like I love that aspect of myself. Or the same way it's just like, yo, she really loves DMX. God rest his soul. Bless you, D. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, yes, I live out loud. So it wasn't like, oh, this is a thing that I'm going to keep close to my chest. Because it's like, I don't add any hot sauce to it. It's just like, yeah, it's a thing. Like, and I fully believe that God is going to bless it. You know, and I fully believe that, like, you know, I think one of the big complexes, it's funny because people were like, well, how can she be a virgin and still play Molly on Insecure? Because, like, Molly gets it in. And
I was it's like, called, she's an actor, all right?
And apparently a very good one because it was believable. Okay, and also, it's just a dance, guys. It's a dance.
The entertainment news reporter in me, the Access Hollywood in me, has to ask, how awkward, if at all, do the sex scenes get? You know, I ask this to a lot of actors, and very often, like, well, it's just so technical that your mind doesn't even go to where you think it might go. How is that for you? How do you prepare for those scenes?
Well, so, I mean, I've come a long way from season one, because season one, I don't talk about it in the book, but it is a thing that happened. One of our costumers, Ms. Dye, I call her Ms. Dye. She was a model. She was like Tupac stylist. I never forget my vet, because but she's like mom. She's like mom on set, right? And the very first one, I was like, Ms. Dye, I don't know what I'm gonna do. Like, this is crazy. Like, and so she was like, I got you. So, you know, obviously, like, for me, like, I require, like, you know, a robe or just like, hey, I need all the pasties or I need all the like buffers. So like there'll be like, 100%. You know, intimacy garments or whatever. Like people don't know. There's like silicone in between, you know, private parts.
Just in the special parts, the special cracks and crevices.
Yes, exactly. And it's just like, it's so protective and protected. And so I, you know, season one, I was like, Ms. Dye, I'm gonna need your help on this one. I'm gonna make sure that like, I know what I'm doing. Right. Wait. So she watched the first tape. And she was just like, she pulled me to the bathroom and she was like, you got to let the man lead. So you're offbeat. Is not that no? Because and I was like, what? She was like, you got to let him. Cause it was
not offbeat.
Yeah. She's a real one, right? So it was the scene, it was episode 6, and it was like Molly and Jared, and she brings me to the bathroom, and she gets behind me, and so she was like, you gotta do, and so she's like doing the motion, like with me in front, and I was like, okay, this is very hands-on. And so she was like, now go call him in here. And I was like, do what now? She's like, go call him in here. And I was like, hey, Lexan, we're supposed to practice because I guess I'm not letting you lead and this is awkward. And so she's in the bathroom and she's like, all right, that looks good. Okay, you can go. And so
then like, oh my God, no, you are joking.
I don't even know if I've told that story, but like, yes, that's exactly what happened.
I love it. The visual in my mind right now.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely made sure it looked believable. And then Ms. Dye sent us out into the acting world. And so she was like,
all right, Ms. Dye wearing many hats.
All the hats. She was like, here's your robe. And also, here's how you let the man lead. And I was like, thank you so much. for so many different things. You know, Miss I is, I'm telling you, if I told the stories of how close we have gotten, I'm like, she is a
role. Oh my God. Well, it sounds like pretty close. I love that. I love it. Okay, well, she set Molly up for multiple seasons of it all. So that, shout out to Miss Di.
Dear future husband, I'm a quick learner. That part.
When it comes to, you know, the dating and the sort of navigating that space, do you feel that your requirements, your standards, what you'd like to have in a partner has evolved more in recent years? Or was that something that you kind of were pretty set on early on in your adult life?
Yeah, I mean, I think people think because I'm waiting that it's like, I also want somebody that's a virgin. I'm like, I mean, if it works out like that, cool. If not, like, as for me in my household, I was like, you know what it's going to be when you get with me. So I just hope that you're already on that journey, but it don't have to be like, you ain't never smashed in your whole life. I'm like, that's not a prerequisite to be with me. Uh-huh. But I have included new things. Like, I didn't realize how much I needed kindness. Because it's like a quality, like, you, honestly, you overlook. I kind of overlooked it because I was like, I thought it was a given. Until I was with somebody, I was like, oh, there's no empathy here. That's what it is. That's why this feels like a beat down situation. Like, there's no empathy. There's no, like, you don't speak with me to me kindly. You don't have grace. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that doesn't work for me because I love people. I genuinely enjoy interacting and, like, being a good human being. And I was like, oh, there's hurt here. And you don't know how, you don't have the emotional awareness or the social capacity to use your words. So, yeah, that's not going to work for me. So I added, like, kindness. Someone that's a giver is a huge thing because I'm the kind of person that's like, let's give to this charity or like, let's get like, you know what? Like I'll buy new shoes here. Take these ones, you know, whatever. And so like, I can't do someone stingy. You know what I mean? Somebody that can like reel me in for sure to be like, okay, now you're spending all your money. You're like, you know what? You're right.
Yeah.
Cause I do go to extremes. I'd be like, let's just give all away everything. And it's like, well,
right.
No, you get a car. You get a car. It's like, well, cause you got a mortgage. Okay. So we got to calm it down. But you know, somebody, I need someone that's generous, you know, with their time, not just with their pockets, but like with their time and with their words. And I've learned from relationships in the past that didn't work out. Like, oh, okay. On paper, they looked great. But like, as I continue to evolve, oh yeah, the things that I want go beyond, you know, like somebody who not only like understands what I do for a living, and is also like gracious about that, you know, like you always know, and you always say somebody who celebrates your successes. I didn't realize that I was with somebody who was not celebrating my successes.
Listen, some people won't. And it's wild because if your mind doesn't work like that, you just assume everyone that you would, you know, engage in a romantic relationship with at the very least would be cheering you on. But some people can't handle that shine.
Here's the thing. They can't handle it, but for themselves, not for you.
Oh, well, right. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
Yes. They're like, they weren't celebrating. They were just taking notes. I was like, did they just recreate my life? What the heck?
I'm just like, what? Wait, you didn't talk about it?
No. We good. I have been there.
Just, I will say that.
Well, we can talk. Sorry, get my number. Let's talk. But like, yeah.
Off record, because girl, it is crazy. It's wild. You, literally, when you said, oh, wow, is this just my life? It's a slow burn, girl. You look up and
you just do like,
let me just hand over the wig while I'm at it. Just go ahead.
Fam! to copious notes. And I'm the fool that was like, so this is how you do it.
Right. Well, because the giver in you who's like, no, we're partners. We're climbing together. I serve, you serve, is thinking that's what's happening. And then you realize that's not
what they thought was happening. They were just like, thank you so much. And here's why I get off the train. And you're like, oh, God.
Not thank you. And this is my stop. Oh, we'll talk. But I want to bring full circle because we're wrapping up soon. But you've got the book. Obviously, we've touched on a little bit. I mean, obviously, you have so much humor and heart and so many life lessons that you've clearly even shared just through this very short episode. But if you had to sum up, you know, what it is you're getting across, I love that you say this is a get yours book, right? Like maybe it's self-help, whatever you want to categorize it as. But really, this is an opportunity for the reader to get theirs. What do you mean by that? And what are people going to get after reading?
Yeah, because I say, like, listen, fam, it's to get yours because I've gotten mine and I'm still getting more of it, but I'm not greedy, you know? So, like, it ain't no fun and the homies can't have none. And so for me, it's just like, getting to the top and being the only one on the mountaintop is not fun. Like, I mean, for some people it is, but for me, I'm just like, I want to have a picnic up here. I want to be at the top, you know, at the rooftop deck pool with other people who got to the top as well. And so for me, it's just like, whoever you are, like, throughout the whole book, I spent all my time, like, really just pouring out my belief in whoever the reader is. Like, I believe in you. I believe you're going to do dope things. I believe that you're going to be the change agent that, like, your family didn't even know you could be. Like, whatever it is, like, I'm just, like, really pouring into people because when you're embarking on a journey that's very different than, like, what you could have imagined for yourself or what other people could imagine for you, you have enough people trying to tell you how it's not going to work. You have enough people trying to tell you what you don't have and what you're not going to do. And I'm the one that's like, here's what is going to happen. Something great. But here's also what's going to happen. You're going to have some down times. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're going to have some tough moments. It's cool. It's expected. We've all been there. It's kind of like when, you know, I'm sure in your career, there are things that have happened and like, you're just like, oh my God, this only happened to me. And I'm just, and then someone comes along, Zuri, and they're like, actually, no, that happens to everyone their first day. Or, you know, like, you know, here's just what you need to do when it does happen. And so you're just like, I don't have to like take this home and be by myself eating ice cream, crying in the corner because this is actually normal. It is normal. Yeah. And I say in the book, the joke will fail. The cake will not rise. Okay. Like, you know, the recipe will fail. Like you will, you know, not get into the school the first time. Like all the things that can happen might happen. And that's not for me to speak negatively in your life. It's just like, it's just life. But in those failures, in the things that didn't work out, I say there's a chapter in the book called I May Not Win, But I Always Win. There is a W set up for you in some way, shape, or form. It may just not look like what you anticipated it, but when God gives you a back end blessing, hey, you know what I mean? In the industry, listen,
you better preach right now. Take the pulpit.
You know, in the industry, there are back-end deals. You know, sometimes, you know, it's like, okay, this is the money you're going to get up front, but like in success, you get, you know, 10% in royalties. That's the back-end stuff. So a lot of people only see, nah, how much do they pay me up front? It's like, if you only knew to not take the upfront deal, just forfeit the money. Because the back-end deal is really where you can sit at home and get checks that you didn't even know. And so it's like, there's some back, we only see, you know, what is given to us right now, what we want. But God has some back end blessings that like you can't see and you have no idea how the royalties are going to shake up in your life. So yes, no, you didn't get into that school. No, you didn't marry that guy or that girl. Thank God. Because what he got on the back end is 1,000 times better than what you could have ever imagined because he knows this is what you needed. But that other relationship, that other deal that didn't go well, prepared you to be your best self for the thing that is about to go well. And so in the book, that's why I talk about it being the get yours. It's like, get yours with the failures, with the blessings, get it all. Because I need you to be successful. I need you to be great. I want to be a partaker. Like, we needed whoever invented Uber to be successful. I need your supply. I need your, like, whatever it is that you have to give to this world. I don't even know that I want it yet because you haven't given it to me. But when you give it to me, I'm already primed to be like, that makes sense. And I want more of it.
That is such a beautiful perspective. I love that. You know, so many people they encourage, they motivate, and it's like the find your why, right? But to hear you say, I encourage, I motivate, I want to push you to be great. Also, because in a certain way, it comes back to me in some way that I've yet to know because you've yet to discover it, to innovate, to create. So that's a really awesome fuel for that fire. You talk about the fact that you have this amazing quote I want to read really quickly. Let me see if I can find it. You said some of your biggest blessings won't appear like the bright, glaring Krispy Kreme hot now sign, which is my favorite sign, to be quite frank. And then you continue, they'll come wrapped as a beautiful burden. They'll look like a hurdle, feel like a chore, and will probably come at the most inopportune time. I love that. I've been there. When is the last time for our audience listening now that you had that what is actually happening moment that ended up being a blessing?
Yeah. Man, I'll never forget. This is a very unorthodox blessing too. I had a meeting. It was like, I think I was doing press for something. I just finished shooting. Whatever it was, I was drained and tired. And I was like, I need y'all to stop setting these meetings for me because I'm exhausted. I'll never forget. I was driving to the lot for this general meeting with a casting director for like a major studio. And The whole way there, I'm like, yo, fam, I don't even, why? Like,
yeah,
I'm tired. Like, I'm so upset. Like, why am I here?
Generals are so exhausting. There's no promise of anything. There's no job on the line. It's like, just go sell yourself. Go talk to this person for 30 minutes and convince them to like you.
To convince them to like you. There's no audition. I'm like, okay, they're casting for a lot of dope movies that I would love to be a part of. But like, Okay, like, is this a guarantee? It's just like, no, I'm just going to sell. But I'm like, if they want to meet me, that means they already like me. So why am I meeting with them? Like, what the heck are we doing? Right. So I'm tired. I'm driving to the lot and I get into the room and he goes, so I hear you're Nigerian. I said, yeah, I am. He's like, yeah, I've met a lot of you. You guys are quite interesting people and you like go hard in the paint. And I was like, we are. So I'm just like, okay. And then he's like, and I hear you love Jesus. And I was like, I do. What's going on here? You know what I mean? Like, it was just like, yes, I, that is facts. We spent an hour and a half talking about faith. He is a gay white man who works for as a camp counselor at a church. And he was just like, let's talk. And I was just like, we poured into each other. Tears were shed. I was just like, oh, Jesus. Well, I know. Okay, I came here for a general, but we had a whole encounter. We've been friends. We've had dinner. I've never booked a single thing with him, and it doesn't matter. But it was like, that was a...
Because what you got in the end was so much more than you expected. Wow.
Clearly, and my thing is, I was like, I didn't know he had done all this research about me. I was like, I'm thinking you're going to talk about, you know, season whatever it was on the show, or you know, comedy, or you know, what my hopes and that's right. He was just like, so you love Jesus? I was like, I do. And turned into we prayed at the end. I was like,
this is Hollywood.
And with the crazy thing about it, I was like, am I still in Hollywood on a major lot? Is this happening right now?
Because that's the part that is blowing my mind, that this happened at all in this crazy industry.
and that was the thing. I was just like, wait a minute, huh? Like, when I tell you, like, the most unexpected thing, and it wasn't even that I led with it. It wasn't that I was like, yeah, so I want to. No, it was just like, so from what I understand, this is your life. Mm-hmm. This is your story. When I tell you, we have had lunch and just check-ins, and he is so dope. And it's just like, no one was trying to proselytize or anything. It was just like, well, yeah, that's literally what I say in the book. It's like, it's not just even about my life. It's more like, if there's anything in my life that's recognizable as anything that you think is dope, it's like when you go to a restaurant and you're so hungry and you're just like, man, I got one shot to get the right meal. I ain't got time to send it back today. This is not a send it back. I'm hungry.
I'm gonna lock in.
Okay. I need it to be good. But then you get one of those Bossa Nova menus and you're just like, yo, fam, it's 18 things.
Because you can't, first of all, Bossa Nova is a whole Bible. It's like a 10-page menu.
It's the New Testament of menus. It's crazy. And so you're just like, do I want the garlic and mushroom pizza or the chicken lasagna? There's so many options. Or do I want the shrimp? And so then what happens is you look at the person next to you who's sitting there and they're just like, it's so good. Oh my God. Like, babe, you got to taste it. Oh, it's so good. And you're like, hold on. What are they having over there?
What are they getting over there?
Yeah, okay.
Can you do that one more time?
Let me get that. Hey, is it good? Oh my God, it's delicious. You would love it. Is it delicious? It's delicious. Okay, great. I'm gonna have what she's having. And I want like my life. I want the book. I want it to be like, yo, I have what she's having. Not like I want her life, but like, hey God, do it to me. Do it for me. Like whatever. However you did it for her.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get my own. Like I want my own order. Like, and matter of fact, right. Can you add extra cheese? Because she's lactose intolerant, but I'm not. So give me some extra cheese.
Right. Customize.
You can customize it, but at least you have a base to be like, I know it's at least going to be good. Now make it better for me. That's why I say it's a get yours book. That's what I want people to get from it. It's like, through my stories and through my humor or through my heartfelt, whatever it is, I want you to believe in you like you've never believed in you before. Like, even when you don't have everything, it don't matter. Even when you do have everything, there's still more to get. So it's just like, just go balls to the wall and see what happens.
Mm. And you went balls to the wall. You're still going balls to the wall. And what is happening is amazing to see. You've got the book. You've got First Gen and development over at Disney Plus with David and Oprah. I mean, it's so impressive. I'm so excited for you. I wish we could talk longer. I know we can't. We got to go. But lastly, you described yourself as, I'm a proud Jesus-loving Nigerian-American writer and stand-up comic. But in addition to that, I'm also an actress, best known as Issa Rae's BFF Molly, on the HBO series Insecure. As Insecure wraps up and comes to a close and you all go into these amazing new chapters that you're going into, what is the thing you think has been most misunderstood about who Yvonne is through these years of getting to know you publicly? And what is the thing that you hope people understand about you moving forward in your career?
I think I've done a pretty good job with letting people know that Molly and Yvonne are two different people. Black Twitter has not picked up on those cues sometimes because like season four.
You just don't want to believe it.
It got real. Season four, it got really real. And I was like, am I about to slap box somebody? What's going on? I think what people will know more about me, either through the book or just like in my life in general, is that I genuinely love people. I'm genuinely a proponent of people living their best life, being their best self. There may be surprised by like my backstory. Like I'm very open about like being bullied and you know, all the crazy things that I went through and still had to work through to get to be the person that I am today. Like I'm very transparent in like, you know, my therapy journey. I'm very transparent in like how I tried to get people to like me as, you know, as a kid. And it did not work out, y'all. It did not. They didn't like me. It didn't matter what I did. It's fine. We're here now, and look at where they are. So God bless.
Exactly. It worked out how it was supposed to work out.
It worked out. I think there's just more of me to be discovered, not only by the masses, but also by me. You know, I'm in a transition period now where I am kind of going into this like ease and flow mode of just allowing things to come. I've done the hustle. I've done the gangstar. And now I'm just like, I want to do less. I want to do less and get more. And see how that works. That's a thing that like no Nigerian has ever done. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Nigerian ever.
We don't
look
know
at you making history, yes. Blazing trails.
We don't know how to do the least to get the most. We are like, we will do the most to get the mostest. And it's like, no, like, what are we doing? To get the mostest. And so for me, I'm just like, this is new terrain. And it's kind of scary. But I'm like, I know what hustle has gotten me. I want to know what rest can get me to.
Well, if that's not a perfect note to end on, that's exactly what this podcast is about. Our third episode, I think, ever, maybe fourth, was Do Less. And I'm certainly of the same mind, and it's been hard, but my 30s have been all about rest. Like, at a certain point, you have to step back and say, it's not worth it if best life is giving me burnout and I have to push pause. So it's so awesome to see that not only have you had these realizations, but that you're being so generous with your spirit and your experiences by sharing them in your new book, Bamboozled by Jesus, available wherever books are sold.
Yes, everywhere, everywhere.
Hi, Happy.
Yes.
LOL. Every time I talk to her, I'm just, my cheeks are sore from all of the laughter. She's so much fun to interview, you know, whether it was E! News, Access Hollywood. I've had some really great convos with her. So it was nice to be able to do a deep dive and learn a little bit more about all of the amazing stuff she's going on. Y'all get that book. All right, go pick up Bamboozled by Jesus. It's so good. So many tangible takeaways and insightful tips. She's trying to help you get yours. So go get it, all right? Now, remember, check out hothappymess.com for the show notes, resources, links, and info on everything that we talked about today. And before we end the episode, I want to share something with you. It's an iTunes review from one of our listeners, Leticia. She's 32 from Seattle. She said, I should have started this podcast sooner. I've laughed, cried, and even cringed because every topic has been so relatable. Thank you for all your amazing and thoughtful content, Zuri. Leticia, thank you so much for taking the time to leave a review. It is so appreciated. And it helps, y'all. They really move the needle. So remember, you can leave a review on iTunes. It's free, and it's an easy way to support the Hot Happy Mess podcast. If you're liking it, if you appreciate what we're putting out, that is a really easy, fast way to not just tell us, but also help us out a little bit. You know, it shows that people are vibing with the show and it helps grow the podcast. So if you want to leave a review, go to Apple Podcasts, type in Hot Happy Mess or Zuri Hall. It'll pop up. Scroll down and write your review. Bada bing, bada boom. We also have a very cute tutorial on our Instagram page, which you should follow at Hot Happy Mess. And follow me at Zuri Hall, Z-U-R-I-H-A-L-L, and don't keep us a secret. Share this episode with a friend right now and leave that review, okay? I will see you in the next one. Thanks again to Yvonne for another amazing episode of Hot Happy Mess. We'll see y'all Monday. Bye. Bye.